All right, so today we are going to continue from where we ended last week. Last week, those that were here, we are talking about hearing God's voice. We talked about hearing God's voice, how Peter heard the Lord speaking to him and Cornelius, then they met. Peter ministered in Cornelius' house, and then salvation came to the household of Cornelius. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we talked about that. Today, I want us to look at it on the other side. Now that we talked about how to hear God's voice, after we've heard, what's next? So today we are going to talk about how to respond to God's word or voice. Having an overview in the Old Testament, we see and read about different people who heard God and how they responded. Abraham is a good example. He heard God speak to him, "Leave your family and go to the land I will show you." He responded by obeying. We know the story of Samuel, the young boy. You know, how he was hearing God calling him without knowing. And he was running to Eli, asking to say, "Did you call me?" And to Eli, on the fourth time, he realized to say, "That must be God," he said. This time when he calls, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And then so many different examples. People heard God speak. Elijah, Moses, and so on and so forth. They responded back. So today, we are looking at Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 11. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 11. I'm going to read through, and then we will have a wonderful time together. Amen. So verse 4 says, from the NIV, "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he taught them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." It's good to mark 100 times there. Sounds very interesting. "When he said this, he called out, 'Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear.' His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, 'The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand.'" That is a citation from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. I put it there deliberately so that you may know if you want to go there on your own time. Verse 11, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. They do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." Why am I thinking of preserving? I was like, what? Praise God. Okay, so as I've already said, how to respond to God's word or voice. Now, I've put word or voice. So we are looking at the word of God. When we go into some Greek, we are going to hear that the word, it is called logos, which means the written word. And then the spoken word, it is called rhema. Okay? So I want you to just understand that. When it is written, it is logos. When it is spoken, that is rhema. Rhema. Yeah, rhema. As in rhema. R-H-E-M-A. Rhema. Yeah. So in this story, Jesus teaches about four ways in which people respond to God's word or voice. Four categories. And going to the context of the story that we've read, the Bible says that as people were coming from place to place, town after town, gathering around Jesus, then he began to speak to them in this parable. To say there was a farmer. Now, remember, the Jews, those guys, according to the context, they were farmers. So he didn't just drop some story which people had no context and did not understand. So he knew to say, these people are farmers. And for me to catch their attention, I have to use something that is very practical in their daily lives. And he chose this story. He said, a farmer went to scatter seeds. Now, look at this. I am a farmer with seeds. Is it on the plate or in the basin or whatever? And then he goes into the field and he starts scattering. Okay? He's scattering. I remember in the village, the only seeds that were scattering like that were those of the millet. Okay? You make lines, small lines, and then you just begin to scatter them everywhere. They'll be going. And then you get something like a rake and begin to scrabble on top, covering them so that the birds do not come and eat them. Sounds good?
Sounds good.
Some farming development there. Yeah, so that's how we used to do it. Now, Jesus is saying that he's giving the stages of this sow. So the first throw, the first scattering of the seeds, the Bible says that as he was scattering, some fell along the path. Okay? This is in the field. Remember, it is in the field. And in the field, there are some places whereby, you know, you have started passing through maybe during the time of harvest, even during the rain seasons, and it becomes very hard and rocky. You know? Because every time you pass there when it is wet, the ground tends to shrink down and down. And so it fell there. And the Bible says that it was trampled upon. Because it is the path, people came and trampled upon it. On top of that, the birds of the air came and ate it up. And some fell on the rocky ground. So I want us to mark the ground. So the first ground is the path. Dry place, hard. It wasn't covered, it was exposed by trampling, at the same time, it was eaten. The other one is the rocky ground. Now, if you know even a little about farming, things don't grow in rocky places. That's why if you want to plant, if you have got like a garden, if you want to, you have a space for the garden at the back of your house or wherever, you have to make sure that you get the good soil and then you cover the rocky places there and put just the good soil on top. Then you can do some magic there. Yeah. Just to give root to the seeds or the plants. So this one that fell on the rocky ground, when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. When the plants begin to grow, the roots are supposed to go down. Where can the roots go? They are trying to penetrate into the ground. They find rocky places. So they have got nowhere to go. And when the sun begins to scorch, because they are not rooted there, the rocks becomes hot. As a result, the rock bends the roots. That's the death of the plant. Agriculture. Okay? And then the third category is that of the seed that fell on the thorny places. Now, this ground just had thorns. Okay? So it was scattered there. It came out, started growing. And as soon as it was like becoming of age, the thorns started pricking it everywhere. And then it dried off. The last one is the seed that fell on good soil. This is amazing. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. 100 times, 100-fold, other versions say. And then immediately cried out when he said this. He called out, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." And he ended there. Imagine that it was you and me. After this parable, you know, some story, and then you're just told like that. So the disciples were concerned. They went there and said, "Master, what are you saying? We are confused. What's the meaning of this?" He said, "The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to them, it has not been given." Who are them? These were the teachers of the law, the leaders, those that were opposing him all the time. So he said to them, it has not been given. Why? Because every time Jesus was teaching, every time Jesus was preaching, the duty and the job, the assignments of the teachers of the law was just to watch for a fault, to criticize him and oppose him. That's what they were doing. So for them, whatever he was saying wasn't making any sense. They were just fault-finding. There are people who are like that. Maybe we are in here, maybe we also have that temptation. Whereby whenever somebody begins to talk, you're like, where is this going? Where is this person going to err? Where are they going to make a mistake? I need to catch them somewhere, you know? And then when you hear something, yes, yes, I knew it. Yeah, this is a problem. And then an argument begins. So that's what was happening to the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. They were just after opposing Jesus. And so he gave them the parable. And in this parable, from verse 11 up to 15, we are told that the seed is the word of God. This very word that we are reading. That's the seed. And then the ground is what I've interpreted as the hearts, human beings. Okay? The farmer is Jesus himself. The teachers, the preachers. Right now I'm acting as a farmer. And we are the fields at the same time. Okay. And so, that's, you ask at the end, not now. So, in this story, Jesus teaches about 4 ways in which people respond to God's voice. Now, as I'm going to go through this, I want each one of us to begin to identify which category are we in? Which group are we in? So the first group is a heart like a footpath. The seeds that fell on the footpath. Every time you hear the word being preached to you, every time you get the Bible and begin to read that word, every time somebody begins to talk to you about the things of God, what is your response? How do you feel? Do you begin to become aggressive all of a sudden, and then you're like, I can't stand this. That is the heart that hears the word of God and do not accept. So there are people whereby you can talk to them about the things of God. They are diehard, you know.
their heart is so hard that the word cannot penetrate. They just dismiss it. When they hear the word of God, immediately they become judgmental. You know? So I've written something like, these do not admit their sinful habits or their wrongdoings because they choose to close up their minds, perhaps due to their lack of understanding. Sometimes it's lack of understanding. They don't understand, so they just choose to close up. Sometimes it's prejudice. By allowing the devil to take it away so that they cannot believe. So they just say, ah, no, it's okay, I don't care. Now, what are you talking about? So, what is your first impression when you hear the word of God being preached, as I already asked, taught, or as you read it? When the Spirit of God is whispering to you about something, when the word is being preached, how do you respond to that? Jesus described this group of people using Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. So that they may have eyes to see, but do not see. Ears to hear, but they do not hear. Can you imagine what kind of a person that could be? You have eyes to see, but you are not seeing. You have ears, but you can't hear anything. That becomes very dangerous. So, this is the seed that fell on the rocky path. Our hearts as hard as that path which has been walked on over and over, whereby we are unable to receive the word of God. We are unable to open up for the word to find its way in our hearts. We always protest. Now, being in ministry for, I think, 15 years now, I know what that means, you know, as a pastor. It's not an easy job. Because every time you stand being to talk about something, people will be looking at you. What is he talking about? Even when they are listening, they know what you are talking about. They are like, ah, no. Yeah, I don't agree with that. You know, they begin to bring in different philosophies and different interpretation. And all they are doing is to fence themselves, to protect themselves so that the word does not dismantle what they believe, what they stand for. Though it being wrong, they just want to protect themselves by protesting, by rebelling. We think we have such hearts. Our hearts become so. When the message is being preached on Sunday, pastor stands, is preaching, or anyone, what happens? Do you have that time whereby at the end of the service you are like, oh, praise God, I feel touched. The word today has really touched me. Or you are like, oh, not again. Not again. You are busy checking on time. What time is it going to finish? I need to go and have some coffee or maybe some lunch or something. Which is not a bad thing. But we pay attention. So we need to think about that. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't be sad. We are just reasoning this together. Amen. The second one is a heart like a rocky ground. Now, this one becomes more advanced. The first one that we talked about, it is the ground, except that it was walked upon and it became hard. Now it's rocky. It's becoming more hard and harder. Okay? Now it's rocky. That is another type. I call these fair weather Christians who excitedly receive the word and begin to grow, but because they do not allow themselves to get rooted in the word for them to grow, when temptation comes, problems, challenges, differences among them as people, Christians, persecution, they give up their faith and say, I'm done. No more going to church. I've had that before, I've experienced that, whereby an issue come up in the church, and then, well, calm down as well.
I'm seeing everyone, it's like, it's not the earthquake, calm down.
Yeah, I've had experiences in the church whereby I'll just receive a phone call, Pastor, rub my name from the register of leaders, no more from today, I'll never come to your church. That is a very bad church I've never seen. And then I'm like, okay. Can we talk about this? No, 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 no negotiations. I'm gone. Oh, praise God. May God be with you. 4 months later, then they'll call you. Ah, please, can we come and talk about that issue? Actually, I've gone around, you know, from church to church. But I think there was a little mistake. They can't even admit to say there was a mistake. There was a little mistake, you know, and misunderstanding. Let's talk about it. Amen. So, rocky hearts, rocky ground is a very difficult ground. We need to see this. Yeah, it will happen, you know. The time will happen. Even as we relate as friends, as family members, sometimes we reach the rocky ground of the heart, you know, whereby you say, no, I think I can never continue with this. I'm done. No, you won't get done. Hallelujah. When issues come in life, we need to work them out. Okay, we need to talk about them. We need to solve them. Problems come to be solved. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, temptations, problems, challenges, differences, they will always be there. In my tribe, we've got a saying that goes like, the trees that are close to each other, they never fail to rub against each other. I could have spoken in my Bemba, but you don't understand, so it won't make any sense. So the trees that are close to each other, they will always rub against each other. Whenever the wind blows, they'll begin to rub branches against one another. This is exactly what happens with people. We are not saints yet. We are in the process of being transformed. Amen? Amen. So the time will come when we rub shoulders in a rough way with Brother Daniel, with Brother Anton, with Brother Bill, with Brother Caristas. You know, we'll size each other sometimes. I've seen Christians even lifting each other up. Do you know me? You have to tell them, come down, come put me down, come down. Let's talk about this, okay? So, those things will happen. Differences will be there. But we should not allow them to prevail. Amen? Amen. We can hit the rocky ground, praise God. But we'll stand and say, may we be replanted. And may some soil be added on the rocks so that we can continue to flourish in Jesus' name. The third one is a heart like the ground full of thorns. I talked about that. These are the Christians who have the capacity to nurture the word, or the promising disciples in parentheses, but who get entangled with the cares, riches, pleasures of this world and replace their love for God with the things of the world. Hence, they fall away because the voice of God cannot be heard amidst the noise of this world. Thorns. We receive the word excitedly. Jesus said, they receive the word joyfully. Say, yes! Oh, I have the word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. These are Christians like, you know, just in one meeting, they'll receive the fire and, you know, they'll be charging everywhere, you know, praising God everywhere. When you see that, you need to go slow on them and really help them. Because when the blow comes, they are going to abandon everything. Okay? When challenges come, when sicknesses come, these are the people that give up and say, ah, no, I cannot do this anymore. I leave it there. No, I've been there myself. There was a time when I ran out from church. I talk about this 1 year, close to 1 year. I said, ah, no, I'm young. My parents are not Christians. I'm the only Christian. This doesn't make sense. When I go to church, I see families, you know, my friends are with their fathers and their mothers. They are encouraging them. And me, every time I go back home, I'll find my dad drunk. And because he used to be a dangerous Jehovah's Witness, you know, full of scripture, he will sit me down. Come, I test your Christianity here. Do you know anything about... Then he wants us to argue. That was discouraging me. I was only a boy. And I said, no, we cannot do this anymore. But there was one man, Deacon Gerald. I'll never forget that man. He kept on coming every Sunday after service. Where's Stephen? Sometimes I could see him from afar and just sneak out. They would tell him, he was here. Behind the house, he's gone. You know? Kept on coming. Until one day I confronted him. I said, what did I get from your church which you've been hunting me for every week? He told me, brother, I love you, but Jesus loves you more and he wants you back. Simple statement, just hit me. Bam! I said, from next week, I'll start coming back. I started up to today. I've been going to church. Hallelujah. So, time comes when thorns will begin to pierce through our faith. Different cares, sicknesses, differences, challenges, confusion in the family. Things will come. So many things. Lack of money, lack of finances, you know, lack of jobs, chaos in marriage, rebellion of the children, and so on and so forth. Even in our midst, in the congregation, differences will come. But the question is, are you able to stand in the midst of that storm? That's where Christianity is tested. Mm-hmm. For you to know that now I have matured. When you argue with somebody, you say, okay, this is not the worst thing that has ever happened to me which can let me abandon God. Then maturity has started coming. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So let's not allow the cares of this world. This world has got so many things. When you begin to list them down, one by one, this whole room can be filled up. But thank God for Jesus. Because he always invites us to cast our cares unto him. Amen? Amen. All our burdens is the burden carrier. So may our hearts not be like those of thorns, which are being easily pricked. May we not forget the love for God. May we not abandon the stream of life, the source of life, our strength, our God. May we not abandon him in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. May we hear him, even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of chaos. May we hear the voice of the Spirit of God saying, hold on, my son. Hold on, my daughter. I am with you. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the age. Sometimes when we are passing through trouble, challenges, we think and feel that God has left us. No, he's always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to challenge us today that when we feel like we are abandoned, let's try to call on the name of Jesus. When we feel like abandoned, let's cry the name of Jesus for help. And we'll see the power. That's what I do. I'm talking about things I do. You've heard me talk about so many testimonies. I talk about things that I do. If you see me talking like this, sometimes you might think that, ah, this guy is like never goes through any challenges. No, he's an iron man. No, actually, I'm the softest. You know? I'm the softest. My wife calls me the crying Freeman. I've mentioned that several times. I just see tears, you know, they're just coming out. Like, hallelujah, praise God. Crying to the Lord. Amen? That is my strength. If I start crying to you, I'll wear you down, and the next thing when I show up, you will not even want me cross. You'll be like, ah, this crying guy, no. Trouble has come. So the best is to cry to God. Amen? Sorry, Brother Daniel, I'm just giving an example. Yeah, no worries. In fact, I've cried to you several times and you've never run away.
Praise God. Right here.
That's great. Thank you for that permission. Okay, so the fourth category is a heart like good or fertile ground. This is the best one. It represents those who hear the word of God and are open to it. They have the capacity to nurture it in their hearts. Come what may. Come what may. There is a scripture that even unbelievers like to quote in the Bible. Do you know what it is? Job 13:13. Come what may. Come what may. I hate people the time I used to drink, you know, and fight. They'll be drunk and they'll be aggressive. They'll be just shouting, come what may. Job 13:13. I'm not afraid of anyone. Job 13:13. But the next thing they want to do is to attack somebody. Job 13:13. Now, in a good way, come what may. Job 13:13. Amen. As a good disciple, you are saying, come what may. I will not give up on Jesus. I will not give up. These are the people that know their God and they remain strong. These are the people who speaks like the Apostle Paul saying, for I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that you keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. These are the people that stands strong. Amen. They know what it really means to be a Christian. They have disciplined themselves. There are things, like, at this, I'm not boasting, but I'm just telling you the reality. There are things that can never move me at this point where I am. Things like, maybe, I hear that somebody was talking about me, about something. I've heard people saying, ah, no, I've stopped, I've given up, you know, no more. Going to that church, no more. Those are bad people. No. There are things that will happen. Challenges that will not move me to say no, I've abandoned. In fact, that will bring me more closer to God. Amen? I want to encourage you. Whenever you face anything coming hard against you, whether in your family, in your life, anywhere, at workplace, let that take you closer to Jesus, not running away from him. When you are slammed on the ground, as you rise up, just shout, Jesus, Jesus, you are my strength, Jesus. And then strength will arise and you prevail in Jesus' name. So this is the category that I want each one of us to be aiming at, to be aiming for. The good and fertile heart that is receptive of the word of God, that put the word into use by obeying and living for Christ. Amen. Amen. So, we've heard about the farmer, we've heard about the seed, we've heard about the different grounds, different people, different hearts. I've asked something here, a question to say. The question we may ask ourselves is that, who is at fault here? Is it the sower, the seed, or the ground? You and me will always find a reason when something happens. Ah, it's because of this. That's why I did this. It's because of this one. That's why I abandoned my faith and became a Muslim. God forbid. Amen. I was very touched. One of my professors talked highly about a student who passed through Fuller, a lady, powerful. Richard Mao is the one who was saying that. She went and she was an expert in preaching, even went to England, won some scholarship. And over the years, she has converted to Muslim. What went wrong? What went wrong? Who was at fault? The farmer? The seed? Or the ground? For us to understand this, we need to go back to God's initial intended purpose for humanity. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 to 31, the Bible says that when God created us, he saw that it was good. He blessed humanity, blessed man, and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Amen?
Amen?
That was the command. Be fruitful. Remember the seeds. They yielded 100-fold, 100 times more. That was the initial command and intent of God. To be fruitful, to multiply in everything that we do. We need to multiply. Amen. We need to multiply in loving people. We need to multiply in joy. We need to multiply in relationships, friendships, multiplication, everything. But what happened? The enemy came and whispered a different voice. Then we found ourselves kicked out of the garden. We were outside. And the God whom we were longing to have fellowship with, we started running away from him. But because he's a merciful God, he still followed us, pursued us, until he brought us back through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, we must not rebel and disobey as we hear God's word. We should be receiving the word of God and obeying it. And by doing so, we will be fruitful to the glory of his holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for your faithfulness. We pray for mercy over our lives right now. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Sometimes our hearts have been like the path that was so hard. And indeed, the enemy came, trampled upon it, and it was even stolen by the enemy without dwelling in our hearts. We pray for mercy, Lord. Our hearts have been like the rocky places, where the word has not been able to pierce through and penetrate. But we are grateful, Lord, because your word is like hammer, which breaks rocks into pieces. Thank you, Jesus. Our hearts sometimes, Lord, they've been like thorny places, which has been choking the faith that you deposit in us, Lord. The seeds that have been deposited in us. We pray for mercy, Lord. Have mercy upon us. We pray, Lord, for the good hearts, the fertile ground, so that when we hear your word, we will joyfully receive the word, have it dwell rich in our hearts, obey it and be able to put it into practice to the glory of your name, so that we may bear much fruit, Lord. for you chose us. We did not choose you, but you chose us, and you commanded us to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Blessed be your name, Lord. I speak your blessings upon each one of us this evening. I pray that, Lord, help us. May we not be choked by the cares of this world. May we stand firm, Lord, even when temptation comes. May we not fall away by giving up in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.